Okay, welcome back to the BRS Men's Afternoon Kollel, and again with gratitude to the Froelich Financial Group. Last week we began Maseches Kedushin, Daf Chof Tes Amad Aleph, 29a. We studied the Mishnah. I don't want to review everything. We studied the Mishnah, and for our purposes, the highlight of the Mishnah was this statement that women are exempt from mitzvahs aseh shehazman grama. One of the contrasts or distinctions between men and women is that men are obligated both in time-bound mitzvos and those not bound by time, whereas women are exempt from positive commandments that are bound by time. In this booklet on page 3, we saw Rav Avadya Zatzal quotes the Yalkut and Shmuel, and we saw this Divrei Shlomo that talk about why should a woman be exempt from time-bound mitzvos. Is it some superiority of the woman innately that she does not need the reinforcement of time-bound mitzvos, or is it a technicality that you don't want to have a conflict between Karplul and Talmud Torah? So we become exempt from certain mitzvos in order to relieve that exemption. If it's the latter, that it's a technicality, it's pragmatic, then why aren't single women obligated in time-bound mitzvos prior to having that conflict with marriage or with children? And we saw various answers to that. We started the Gemara, and the Gemara was talking about the mitzvahs haben ala av and mitzvahs ha'av ala ben, the obligations of a child towards a parent, the obligations of a parent vis-a-vis the child. And the first in the list of the braisa of the obligations of a parent towards a child was the mitzvah of milah. And the Gemara wanted to know, how do you know that a woman is exempt from performing a bris milah on her son? And the Gemara had a limud that the pasuk says, Oso, Kadosh Baruch Hu commanded Avram last week's parasha, Oso, Oso, velo, Osa. That he is commanded. I'm trying to look for here where the Gemara says it. What? Yeah, exactly. So we got in last week. Let's get into this. We got into Tosfos. Tosfos, Oso Velo Oso, raised the question, why do I need a limud that Oso Velo Oso, women are exempt from doing a bris on their son? What do I need a special limud? Whatever happened to Mitzvah Saseh Shazman Grama? And we spoke about the methodology that when you have a question, you could either undermine the premise of the question, which will relieve the question, or the question is a legitimate question and it needs an answer. Tosfos here tries to remove the premise of the question. What was the premise of the question? Was that Mila is a mitzvah saseh shehazman grama, and Tosfos says it's not. Why? True, the mitzvah doesn't start till the eighth day, but once it begins on the eighth day, it's indefinite after that. And therefore, it's a not a mitzvah saseh shehazman grama, and that's why you needed the limud of oso velo osa. Which Tosfos then asks on that, well, what about the fact that you can only do mila during the day, you can't do mila at night? So Tosfos says, maybe this is going according to the opinion that you could do mila even at night. And since you could do mila, according to one opinion, at night as well, you need the special limud of oso velo osa to say women are exempt, because otherwise it would not be a mitzvah saseh shehazman grama, because you could do a mila at night. That was Tosfos. Then we saw the Ramban, just reviewing very quickly, we saw the Ramban on page 2, and the Ramban asked the same question, what do I need the limud of oso velo osa? I know that it's a mitzvah saseh shehazman grama. And what did the Ramban answer? Said the Ramban, no. I would have thought that the exemption of mitzvah saseh shehazman grama applies to a mitzvah that's on her. But mila, since mila is not specific to the child, but the Gemara already told us that first the father's obligated in the mila on the child, and if there's an absentee father, or the father for whatever reason can't supervise the mila on his son, then who takes over? There's a mitzvah on Beis Din. So says the Ramban, maybe a woman is no worse than Beis Din. So mitzvah saseh shehazman grama means she doesn't wear talis, and she doesn't wear tefillin, she doesn't have to hear shofar, she doesn't have to hold a lulav, she doesn't have to sit in the sukkah. Mitzvah saseh shehazman grama means a mitzvah begufayu, the mitzvah as it applies to her, if it's time-bound, she's exempt. But this mitzvah, true, there's a component of time, but Beis Din is obligated for the child. It's not a mitzvah on yourself, it's a mitzvah for someone else. So maybe this, the fact that it's time-bound, doesn't exempt her. She's obligated the same way maybe as Beis Din, and that's what you needed the limud, oso velo osa. And we ended last week by saying that the stipler had a chakira based on these two answers. And said the stipler, the Kilas Yankov, what's the chakira? What's the nature of the father and Beis Din's obligation to be mal the child, to give a bris to the child? Is it that the mitzvah truly is incumbent on the child, but the child simply can't carry it out, So there's a secondary mitzvah on the father or a Beis Din to help the child fulfill his own mitzvah. Or no, the mitzvah, until the child can fulfill it, isn't even on the child. The mitzvah is on the father and on the Beis Din. So are Beis Din and the father fulfilling a mitzvah which is on them? Or no, the mitzvah always is on the child. They simply are commanded to be the catalyst to help the child fulfill the mitzvah that always was on him. And the Stipler says that question is the difference between Tosfos and the Ramban. Their answers line up with the different perspectives. I don't want to review it because I want to go weiter. Page 5. Yes. In what sense here?
In what sense? I mean, obviously, when you're watching that they, at this time, you know, the woman is the one who is occupied.
But what mitzvah is she oseken? True, if you're occupied with one mitzvah, you're exempt, and according to the Ritva, maybe forbidden from fulfilling another mitzvah. But who says you're occupied with a mitzvah? What mitzvah is she occupied with? She's sitting on the couch, reading a book. And yet she still is exempt from a time-bound mitzvah. So it's not a function of the conflict, because even a man is exempt or forbidden when there's a conflict between doing the mitzvahs.
Is there any other place they said the woman could take the place of Beis Din in a situation like that? Like a man who is kind of...
So we'll get to it. Hold that thought. Page 5, this comes from Rav Shechter's first Sefer Eretz HaTzvi, Simen Yud. Rav Shechter was our guest this past Shabbos. Gave 15 shiurim between Thursday night and Sunday morning. It was unbelievable. Unbelievable. He was fantastic. You can listen to the shiurim all on Wayu Torah. So Rav Shechter in Eretz HaTzvi is the following. Skip to Beis. The title of this essay is Man Chiyuv HaMitzvus Uzman Hechsher Kiyumam. The time of the obligation, the fifth page. The time of the obligation of mitzvus and the time of fulfilling them. He writes the following. Vahanira Lomar. You see where we are? He's setting it up with a question that we're not going to look at. Hamachayev lemitzvahs lulav and mitzvah shofar hayne kedushas hayom diyom tov shel sukkos v'cheina kedushas hayom diyom tov shel rosh hashanah. What obligates you to take a lulav? What obligates you for the mitzvah of shofar is the kedushas hayom of those days. U'kedushas hayom alo mitchilas hi be'erev. Imkei nimtza dechiyav mitzvah maschel kfar mi be'erev. When does the obligation to take dalad minim kick in? When is the obligation to hear the shofar kick in? So if you would have asked me, I would have said, well, you can only be yotze between Netzach Hama and Shkia, or b'di'evet, between Amun HaShachar and later, but you can only be yotze during daylight hours. Whatever the hours that you can be yotze are the hours that you're obligated. How can you obligate me prior to when I can fulfill? But comes along Rav Shechter and says, no. What the driver of the obligation of Dalad Minim is what? The sanctity of Sukkos. I'm not obligated in Dalad Minim on a Stam Tuesday. It's the fact that there's a Kedushas Hayom. There's a sanctity to the day. And that Kedushas Hayom, which is a sanctity to the day, is a driver that obligates you in the mitzvah. Now, true, there's a technicality that I can't fulfill the mitzvah except for those limited hours. But who says that the obligation and the fulfillment always go together? That's why it's the title of this piece. It's a big chiddush. Who says that the zman chiyuv and the zman kiyum always go together? Maybe I can be obligated in a general sense, even though technically I can only fulfill and discharge that obligation in a more limited sense. So the mitzvah of shofar already kicks in when? Marav, Rosh Hashanah night, first night of Rosh Hashanah, you're in your finest clothing, you now become obligated in shofar. What do you mean obligated in shofar? It's Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is going to obligate shofar. When can I fulfill it? Not till the morning. But I'm already obligated. U'kedushas hayom alo mitchilas ha'be'erev. Imkei nimtza dechiyav ha'mitzvah masl kvar mi ba'erev, ela dezman hechshir ha'mitzvah ena ela b'yom, mishalom ala shachar. Says Rav Shechter, he also heard this from the Rav. Rav Shechter is using it to answer this question that we're skipping in Aleph. But he's saying the principle he heard from the Rav, and the Rav used this principle to answer our question in our Gemara and Kedushin. Tosfos asks, "Lama likra lifter isha mimila bina tepa gleda mitzvah seishas man gramahi? What do I need a special limud that women are exempt from giving a bris to their son? It's a time bound mitzvah. Women are exempt from all time bound." And Tosfos answered, "Ein molin ela biyom." Vayin sham mashatirtu betosfos v'shari shonim v'shamati liyashiv diyesh lomar the geder mitzvah seishas man grama haynu shechiyav mitzvah taloi bezman v'lo shekiyum taloi be'ezes man misuyam umugbal. What makes something a mitzvah saseh shas man grama? What makes it time-bound? The fact that the obligation is limited by time? Or the fact that the opportunity to fulfill it is limited by time? I would have said both. If the obligation, or even if the opportunity is limited by time, a woman's exempt. Mitzvah saseh shas man grama. Kong comes along the Rav, saying this from Tosfos, and says no. True! Remember Tosfos' second answer? First Tosfos said, it's not a mitzvah seishas man grama, because even though it doesn't kick in until the eighth day, then it's indefinite. Tosfos says, aye, but what about the fact that you can only do mila during the day? From the eighth day and on, says Tosfos, I accept your premise that once the eighth day kicks in, there's a chiyuv now, which is not bound by the calendar. Now I can do it any day, but I still can't do it at night. I can only do it during the day. To which Tosfos answered, what did Tosfos answer? No, it's going according to the opinion that you could do mila at night. Says the Rav, quoted by Rav Shechter, no, you could answer Tosfos differently. True, you can only be mekayim the mila during the day, but the zman chiyuv is both during the day and at night. You're obligated in mila. Once the eighth day kicks in, you're obligated in mila 24/7. You're obligated 24/7. You can only be mekayim 12/7.
Didn't his wife do it at
6, actually, because once it's Einab Azmana, you can't do it on Shabbos.
Didn't Moshe's wife do it at night?
Was that night? It says it was at night? It was an exceptional circumstance in a lot of ways. In a lot of ways, true. Okay, you hear what he says? If somebody has a sibling who died, what's it called? Hemophilia? A sibling, a brother who died because of Mila, then it's dangerous for them to have Mila. So that Kohen, can he eat Truma? Normally an Aral can't. But here he's honest. It's not his fault. There's nothing he can do about it. Einu mechuyev b'mila. Otu neima da'achanami l'chol oral shemutter b'truma b'layla, d'lek achiyev mila b'layla, p'shita d'lo. Da'af d'mila p'sula b'layla, d'layla ein ezman hechshar kiyo mitzvah, mikom makom achiyev lomul isa b'im b'yom b'im b'layla. Oh, you hear what he says? Geshmak. A Kohen who doesn't have a mila, can he eat truma? No. What if the reason the Kohen doesn't have the Mila is because he has a brother who died from hemophilia, so he's exempt from Mila? Can he eat Truma? Yes. Why can he eat Truma? Because he was honest. True, he's obligated in Mila, but he can't fulfill it because he has a brother who died from it. So says the Rav, it's a good question. Does it have to be one, two, how many? That's a machlokas with Meis Machmas Mila and a case of a katlana, a woman who gets married several times and the husband dies.
What about carbon
pesach? But hold on. So says the Rav, if that's the case, says the Rav, let's say again, a Kohen who doesn't have a bris is allowed to eat truma if he has a brother who died. Why? Because though he's obligated in Mila, theoretically, he can't fulfill it because he's honest. Says the Rav, so if that's the case, why can't a Kohen who doesn't have a Mila, who could have a Mila, eat truma at night, not during the day? Because at night too, Elamai, what do you see? The lack of chiv mila, you'd say there's no chiv mila balayla, so he's like the Kohen who has a brother Meis Machmas Mila. But we don't say that. Why? Because the truth is that you are mechuyev and mila at night. Meaning the Kohen who doesn't have a bris because his brother died isn't obligated altogether. The fact that he's at risk makes him an onus to remove any sense of an obligation. What about somebody who at night doesn't have a mila? True, they don't have the opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah at night, but clearly the obligation is still there. So the Rav is trying to draw a contrast between a Kohen Aral who has a brother, Meis Machmas Mila, to stam a person who doesn't have a bris. And he says, you see, the fact that we don't say that a Kohen without a bris can eat truma at night, since he can't do the milah at night, true, you can't fulfill milah at night. But what do you have? A chiv. So what prohibits you from eating truma if you're an arol? The fact that you're obligated in milah. Not, you can't fulfill it at night, but the obligation remains in force. And Rav Shechter continues here that the same, the Rav's principle by bris should apply to lulav and shofar, that the chiyuv of the mitzvah already begins at night, even though the opportunity to fulfill it. So it's a brisker lumdus, that there's a separate zman for the chiyuv and a different zman for the kiyum. And mitzvah sasesha, zman grama, exempts you. So now come back to Tosfos. Tosfos wants to know, why isn't Mila Mitzvah Shaman Grama? Why do I need the Asova La Osa? Women should be exempt because it's Mitzvah Shaman Grama. Women are only, Mila can only be done during the day. To which the Rav answers, no. Mila can only be fulfilled during the day, but the obligation exists even at night. Which means, is Bris a Mitzvah Shaman Grama? According to the Rav, bris is not a mitzvah sasman grama. And without the limit of osov lo osa, women should be obligated in mila. And that's why, that answers Tosu's question, that's why you needed it. Because to be a mitzvah sasman grama, it means both the kiyum and the chiyuv have to be limited by time. But if the chiyuv is all the time, true, the kiyum is limited by time, it's not a mitzvah sasman grama. That's the principle of the Rav. I don't think Rav Shechter has it here in his sefer, but with this you can answer another question. There seems to be a stira in the Ramah. I'm sorry, it's not in the source book. But if a person has a bris before the eighth day, do they need hatafas dam bris later? Yes. Versus, let's say you had a bris after the eighth day, but it was at night. There seems to be a stira in the Ramah. That if you had a bris before the eighth day, you later need hatafas dam bris, which means you have to draw a tiny drop of blood. Oh, so what's the answer? Because prior to the eighth day, it's nishken bris, it's not a bris. There's no chi of bris yet. So you can't say that b'diyevet, you fulfilled something. It's a circumcision, it's not a bris. From minute one till day eight, it's a circumcision, it's not a bris. But once the eighth day kicks in and it's chiyuv, if you did the mila at night, forget the fact that there is an opinion that you could do mila at night, but according to this interpretation of the Rav, even at night there's a chiyuv mila. True, the kiyum we limit to during the day, but even at night there is a chiyuv mila. And I'll tell you a third thing that's not here in Eretz Tzvi. It's a good word, I should write this up. The third thing is, there is a machlokas, the Rishonim, it's a das yachid, there's one opinion, that zrizim makdimin lemitzvos. Did we learn this together last year? We might have covered this. Also, this week's parsha, Vayashkim Avram Baboker, from which we learn Avram wakes up early in the morning to go do the Akedah, from which we learn the zrizim makdimin lemitzvos. That you, those who act with alacrity, are enthusiastic, do the mitzvah at the first possible point. Can you fulfill zrizim makdimin lemitzvos even prior to the zman mitzvah? Can you fulfill zrizim makdimin lemitzvos even prior to the mitzvah? So, I gave this chabura like 8 years ago, and I haven't looked at it, so you'll forgive me. I didn't think of this till right now, but for next week I'll double check who it is. I forgot who the das yachid is who holds that there's, you can fulfill zrizim makdimin even kodim zman mitzvah, which makes no sense at all. If zrizim makdimin lemitzvos is a mahudr way of doing the mitzvah, you could do the mitzvah in the plain way, or you could do the mitzvah in a better way, then it should obviously follow the time period of the mitzvah itself. How in the world can you consider that you should be able to do zrizim makdimin lemitzvos prior? So, one of the classic answers which is given is that, who says zrizim makdimin lemitzvos is the same as the mitzvah? This is a chakira they say over in Hidr mitzvah. So for example, bris milah. You're obligated to bris on the eighth day. Shki is 5 o'clock. You could do the bris at 4:58 p.m. Have you done the mitzvah? Big check. Absolutely. Bris milah. Done. Prior to shkia. Good to go. What about zrizim makdimin? Have you done zrizim makdimin? No. Shki is 5 o'clock, the last opportunity for the bris, and you do the bris at 4:58 p.m., You've cut it pretty close, no pun intended. And no pun intended, but it was a good one. And you've cut it pretty close, and you fulfilled the mitzvah of bris, but you've not fulfilled zrizin. How do you fulfill zrizin? Let's say the earliest you could do the bris is 6 a.m., and you do the bris 6:01. You've done the bris, and you've also done zrizin. Now the question is, how does zrizin makdim le mitzvahs work? What's the nature of this concept, zrizin makdim le mitzvahs? Is it I get the same check with bris, but it's a super big, highlighted, bold check because I did it in a mezuzah's way? Or is it that I get a check in two separate columns? One check in the column of I did the bris, and there's another column called the mitzvah of zrizin makdimin. It's a classic chakira. They say it in hider mitzvah. They say it in zrizin makdimin. Is zrizin a din in the mitzvah, or is it a second mitzvah? When I do a bris in a manner of zrizos, do I get one super big check for bris? I did bris in the best way, or no? Bris is the same check whether I did it at 6 a.m. or I did it at 6 p.m., 5:58 p.m. The difference is I get a check for bris, and I get a check for zrizin. And that's how classically they explain, how could you fulfill zrizin kodem zman the mitzvah? Because you're right, the mitzvah is mugbal, the mitzvah is limited by the parameters of the zman chiyuv of the mitzvah. But zrizin is not part of the mitzvah, it's an ancillary tangential mitzvah, secondary, it's its own column, you get your own check for zrizin. Maybe that you could do even earlier. So if let's say the earliest time for the bris is 6 a.m. and the mo'el at 5:50 is setting up his instruments, his mekayim, his reason, makdimin, even kodem the zman of the mitzvah. But I want to say, based on this principle of the Rav, another answer. Maybe there's a component of being able to fulfill his reason, makdimin, based on the chiyuv, not the kiyuv. True, the kiyuv doesn't kick in till the day, but the Rav just told us the chiyuv already exists at night. True, you can only fulfill the mitzvah during the day, but the obligation already exists at night. So maybe the zrizin makdimin can be piggybacking on the obligation even prior to the opportunity for the fulfillment. Everybody follow? Okay, last week we saw the Gemara and the Rishonim, this week a little bit of Lumdus. Yes?
This Kohen that never had a bris meal.
Yeah.
Is there any problem with
Korban
Pesach?
Yeah, he's ineligible. Oh, because of his brother?
Yeah.
No, then he's on us, I believe. Then he's on us. Page 7, next page, is a piece from Rav Asher Weiss, the Minchas Usher. He was a guest of ours last year, an incredible Shabbos with him. And he's discussing our whole question here. Let's go through this piece a little bit together. And then we'll get to, in this piece, he gets to the question of Rabbi Friedman, Chiyuv Ha'eim B'milas Bina. Okay, but let's start. First he quotes our Gemara. Mematin Isha Mimitzos Mila Dechsev Kashir Tzivo Oso Elokim V'darshino Oso V'lo Oso V'hikshu Tosos Amai Bina Krole Mutei Tepuk Lei Davi Mitzos Isha Zman Grama. He quotes our Gemara and he quotes Tosos' question. Why do you need a special limud to tell me women are exempt? It's a classic time-bound mitzvah. V'tir Tzu Dekev Nam Yom Hashmini V'eilach Ein Chiv Nifzak Lo Mikri Mitzos Isha Zman Grama. And Tosos answered, no, since it, from the eighth day on you're obligated, it's not called time-bound. V'af Mila Shelo B'zman Ha'ikla Mandabra Mivomos. And the fact that you could do it during the day or night. The Ramban, Tirtz Bo Fanachar, then he quotes the Ramban that we saw, who gives a different answer. Ukeinze, I'm on the top of the left column now. Ukeinze, Kosova Ritva, Tahad, the Nashim Paturus, Mitzvah Shazman Grama, Hainu Davka, but Mitzvah Shal Gufon, Mitzvah Shal Achirim, Chayav Hosein. So the Ritva and the Ramban have this principle that the exemption of time bound is only for mitzvahs that apply to them. Talis, tefillin, shofar, lulav, sukkah. When it applies to the woman herself, if it's bound by time, she's exempt. But when it's an obligation on her vis-a-vis another, even if it's bound by time, say the Ramban and the Ritva, then the exemption of mitzvah shalman grama does not apply. Over minchas chinuch b'kama mekomas hevim b'divrei haritva d'chaluke mitzvah shebegufan mamish mitzvah shal davar acher mikoch zeh kosov l'chadish b'mitzvah lamed beis d'noshim mitzuvos b'shvisos b'hemton b'shabas davar mitzvah shazma shal behema v'lo agufa adam. We say in Kiddush, those who say the long Kiddush, you say that you're obligated on Shabbos not only for your own rest, Not only are you obligated to be at peace with nature, at rest, but that obligation applies also to your property, your maidservant, your child, your animal. There's an obligation of Shvisas Behema. Your animal can't be doing malacha for you on Shabbos. If a woman owns an animal, is she mitzuvah on Shvisas Behema? So the Minchas Chinuch, based on the Ritva, says Shvisas Behema is not a mitzvah begufa for her. It's an obligation on her towards the animal. And therefore, the fact that it's bound by time, namely on Shabbos, does not create the exemption. V'chein kasub mitzvah kuf yud beis, mitzvah shvisas ha'aretz b'shnas ha'shvias, t'nohagas b'im ba'anoshim b'im menoshim. Are women obligated in Shemitah? Shemitah is bound by time. It's every seventh year. Are you obligated in shvisas ha'aretz? Says the Minchas Chinuch, yes. Why? Because even though it's mitzvah shazman grama, kevin de'ena mitzvah begufa adam, since it's not on her, it's on the her vis-a-vis the ground, her vis-a-vis the animal. So therefore, the exemption of being bound by time does not. And a third example. No, so maybe the fact that it's her mitzvah, without the Minchas Chinuch, without the Ritva, I would have said, mitzvah se shazman grama, she's exempt. Comes along the Ritva and says, but the whole exemption of mitzvah se shazman grama had to do with her. If it's her with something else, she's obligated. V'chein kasa mitzvah shin pei vav. V'leman damer tzitzis chovas mona chayavas isha betzitzis te'enza mitzvah tliya begufa, ela begufa beged. The Gemara has a discussion. Is tzitzis a mitzvah? Is it chovas mona or chovas gavra? Is it an obligation on the garment or an obligation on you? And you say the garment's, that's what you were just saying, the garment's an inanimate object. How could you talk about the garment having an obligation? What does the Gemara mean, whether tzitzis is a mitzvah on the garment or on the person? What the Gemara means is, what if you have a four-cornered garment sitting in a dresser drawer? Do you have to have tzitzis on it? If it's a mitzvah that's on the person, it's only if you're wearing a four-cornered garment it needs tzitzis. But if it's a mitzvah that's on the garment, it means the garment could be lying in the drawer and it needs tzitzis on it. So the Minchas Chinuch says, what's a nafkamina? Women. If it's a mitzvah only that if she's wearing it, so it's a mitzvah begufa, it's a mitzvah on her, tzitzis is a time-bound mitzvah. Why? Because you only yotze during the day, now you go back to the rav. Maybe you're really obligated at tzitzis at night too. It's just that you can only fulfill it during the day. Or is it that no, the only obligation only exists beginning during the day? But anyway, according to the Minchas Chinuch, you're only obligated in tzitzis during the day, not at night. So therefore, really, it should be a mitzvah shazman grama. And if it's a mitzvah begufa that the tzitzis has to be on her, then taka she's exempt, which is what we say. But if you say that it's chovas mana, that the mitzvah is on the garment, and the ritva and the ramban are right, that when it's a mitzvah on her, but vis-a-vis another, then she does not have the exemption. So then a woman would be obligated to make sure that her tzitzis in the drawer have, that her dalet kanfas in the drawer have tzitzis. Obviously we don't paskin that way, but according to that opinion, that it's chovas mana, then she would not have the mitzvah say. V'dvar tzuchim iyim, d'ha makora din d'nashu b'tiruz mitzitzis, b'shim d'ha mitzvah shaz man gramahu b'raisa b'kedushin. Ask Rav Asher Weiss on the Minchas Chinuch, you got a problem. The Gemara made a statement. Said the Gemara, women are exempt from tzitzis. Independent of that, the Gemara has a machlokas. Are tzitzis an obligation on the garment or the person? If you, the Minchas Chinuch, are right in your interpretation of the Ritva and the Ramban, asks Rav Asher, then the Gemara should have put the two together and said, women are not necessarily exempt. But the Gemara made a blanket statement. Women are exempt from tzitzis, period. Separate and apart, it has a machlokas about chovas mana, chovas gavra. According to you, the Minchas Chinuch, those two issues should be intertwined. And the fact that they're not seems to undermine your premise or your interpretation of the Ritva and the Ramban, that there's a difference between whether the mitzvah is on her proper or the mitzvah is on her vis-a-vis another. That's his question on the Minchas Chinuch's interpretation of the Ritva and the Ramban. Yes?
Even if you say it's a mitzvah in the tzitzis itself, the mana, since it's a risam, so you have to see it, you wouldn't have to put tzitzis on in your drawer at night either.
That may be at night. What about during the day?
Then it's mitzvah shazman grama again.
but mitzvah ishes man grama doesn't exempt her if it's a chovas mana. So if your tzitzis are hanging on your exercise bike or your treadmill, which is why you own the equipment to hang your clothing, so your tzitzis are hanging on there and it's daylight and the sun's coming in through the window, you obligated in tzitzis or you're not?
So these are questions from the Gemara. So the Gemara has two opinions, and it says always
it's
man grama. That's the Gemara, right?
The Gemara says nashim mitzvah is man grama. Correct.
There are two opinions of
it. Chovas gavra, chovas mana.
I'm saying even if the chovas mana, we're still only b'chayav by day. It's a grisa.
That's the patur for women, because it's a mitzvah shezman grama. But I'm saying, but even if it's a mitzvah shezman grama, if the minchas chinuch is right, the fact that it's chovas mana, that doesn't exempt her. That's his whole kasha. That's the whole kasha. Being a mitzvah shezman grama is not enough to give you an exemption. It has to be a mitzvah shezman grama, which is on you. And if you hold that it's chovas mana, it's on the garment, then it shouldn't exempt her. And that's Rav Asher's question: how does the Gemara shtim with this opinion of the minchas chinuch in the Ritva and the Rambam? What, say that again?
I said, according to the idea that the mistress on the cow to rest.
Right.
Which I can't follow through all, but according to that.
It's on the owner not to work the cow.
The owner has
the
obligation. The owner doesn't do it. Like Chris Milo or the father doesn't do it, whatever, the investor comes in. Now they have to represent the cow and take the cow away from the stock.
Maybe. We don't find that. I don't believe we find that halacha. But, that's an obligation on the person vis-a-vis the cow. But let's look what he says. He's going to, Kedarko Bekodesh, Rav Asher is not going to hesitate to disagree with the Minchas Chinuch and how he understood the Ritva and the Ramban. He knew that Shemadayi b'divrei ha-Ritva v'frap b'divrei ha-Ramban nira de'in kavanosim l'chadish b'chol mitzvah seisha z'man groma d'noshim chayavazim e'ina mitzvah t'lui b'gufan. Right? That's not what the Ritva and the Ramban meant. The way the Minchas Chinuch read the Ritva and the Ramban, that the patur, the exemption of being time-bound, only applies if it's a mitzvah on her, says Rav Asher, that's not correct. Why? Rav Asher is seeing the Ramban just like the stipend did, and he's saying the following. The Minchas Chinuch got it wrong with the Ramban. The Ramban did not mean to introduce a general rule or principle, namely that if it's not a mitzvah on her body, then she doesn't have the exemption. No, well, that makes no sense. What was bothering you, Rabbi Friedman, was bothering Rav Asher Weiss and the stipler. It makes no sense. If it's bound by time, why do I care whether it's on my body or it's on me vis-a-vis your body? What do I care? If it's bound by time, I should be exempt. It doesn't make sense. So what did the Ritva and the Ramban then mean to answer to Tosfos' question? They meant to answer something differently. That Mila is never on the father or the Beis Din. It always remains on the child. So it's not really the mitzvah itself. It's just the obligation to help someone else fulfill a mitzvah. Why should the fact that your mitzvah is bound by time relieve me of my obligation to help you? That's what the Ritva means to say. So the distinction is not between a time-bound mitzvah which is on me versus a time-bound mitzvah which is on me to help you. The distinction is whether I ever have that mitzvah to begin with. The woman never absorbs or adopts the mitzvah. The father, the Beis Din, never absorb or adopt the mitzvah. All they have is an obligation to help the child fulfill his mitzvah. And that was the Havamin of the Gemara. Was that maybe true a woman's not obligated to, a woman doesn't have an obligation herself to circumcise her son, but maybe she remains obligated to help the child with his obligation to be circumcised. And maybe the mandate for her to help him with his obligation shouldn't be exempted by the fact that it's bound by time. And you'll say, where do we have a precedent for me being obligated to help you fulfill your mitzvah? There's a very easy place we have that precedent. The father and Beis Din. And maybe she should be included in that group. And that's what the Gemara's answer was, no. Oso velo osa. It's not just that she doesn't have the mitzvah. That you would have known from the fact that it's a mitzvah shas man grama. It's that she doesn't even have the obligation, like the father or Beis Din, to help the son with his mitzvah. You understand?
So it's got nothing to do with mitzvah shas man grama.
So essentially it has nothing to do with mitzvah shas man grama. What the Rambam was basically saying was that the Havamina was mitzvah say shasman grum is only an exemption when it's your mitzvah. But if you don't have a mitzvah, how could the fact that it's bound by time exempt you? You're helping someone else with their mitzvah. Who cares it's bound by time? The time variable only helps you when you have the mitzvah. But you don't have the mitzvah. So therefore you might have thought that a woman has an obligation to help. And that's why you need oso v'lo osa to exempt her from that role. What do you mean? The father says that mitzvah, that bracha.
But you're saying it's on the son. You just said the mitzvah is on the son. So if the mitzvah is on the son, why should the father say she has on the son?
Because the son can't do it. He's 8 days old. So the father... Maybe the Hachniso Bevrisa Shalma Avram Avinu means my obligation is to help him enter the covenant to do his mitzvah, namely the mitzvah of Mila. That's the fundamental chakira in this sugya. Is the mitzvah on the son just the father or Beis Din are helping, and then you can consider maybe the mother's role? Or is the mitzvah transferred to them, in which case clearly the mother has no role?
How can you put an obligation on somebody who can't perform something?
Well, that's a separate question, that you're saying it remains his mitzvah, they're just helping him. How could he have a mitzvah? He's potter, he's honest, he's 8 days old, it's not even shaykh to be honest. Would this also apply to Pidgin HaBen? Yes. We're going to get to that sugya too in the Gemara. I got to run.
What is the bracha that somebody, let's say, who's 25 years old, makes as a brisk for the wedding? Is it Lahachni's son?
It's a good question. I don't remember offhand. There is a whole lumdus, and we'll get back to this too, that the two brachos, Alamila and Lahachniso, reflect two different things. One is the physical mitzvah, the Maisa mitzvah, and the other is the kiyum of being part of the covenantal community. So the one is on me. In other words, I think my brother said this at my nephew's bris. Rabbi, I think my brother said this at my nephew's bris. That even when the father says Lachnisa Bavrisa Shalom Avram Avinu, he's representing the tzibur. He's not even saying it for himself. That one is a mitzvah of Alamila. That's on the child, on the father, on Beis Din. The Achnisa Bavrisa Shalom Avram is on the tzibur to make sure that the child is gemalt. And to bring him into the bris and into the kehila, into the tzibur. We'll have to continue with this. I apologize, I got to run. Mirt Hashem will keep going. Because what I want to get to is Beis, on the next page. Chiyuv ha'em b'milas b'na, we'll see as being a nafkamina on these issues, how you view the nature of Mila.